at the readings on from Lanto the Sage and his association with Buddha. And I noticed Teddy has an experience with an Indian master. And I was wondering if you could comment on the Art of War by Sun Tzu, and if he was playing at present some part in this overall strategy to raise and purify the consciousness of the planet. And maybe if this is not the appropriate time to respond to that, if sometime in the future writings, if you could.
I'd rather do the latter. That's a really touchy subject. I have trouble enough every time we talk about Buddha.
Commander?
Yes.
So I just had a few comments about the weekend, and I hope not to take too much time here because everyone may be tired. It's been such a marvelous weekend, and in a sense, the representatives and maybe the enlightened ones came here. Certainly Little Crow is awesomely expressive and spiritual and loving and enlightened, whatever that is. And you know how much Terry influenced all of us. One comment I had is when Terry was talking about this power that is represented by the cosmos, that inner experience, Yogananda also said, and there's trillions of cells in the human body, and he said that one cell in the human body has enough power to light up the city of Chicago.
Yes.
So what about our enlightened state, gentlemen and ladies of the light? We were talking about fasting and Dharma suffered, and I did a 6-month thing once, and one thing I learned, I'm just trying to help people here understand a few experiences I had when I was with Swami Turiyananda at Lake Shrine. And his suggestion was, he said, you know, if you, maybe fasting is good. It gives the body a break. You don't have to digest all this stuff. You might go through some cleansing. But he pointed out that if you fast one day a week, in a year you've fasted 52 days. So that's a pretty nice 2-month fast.
It's called practicality.
So on the issue of this cosmic light, which we search for and search for, and what we really want, I think, is that love, to know we're surrounded by it, to know we have a connection to it, maybe at some point in our experience to become it so strongly that we need no one else, nothing else, the experience is complete, and we want that love and that reassurance, we just go inside our own selves. And in 1970, when I first met Ram Dass, he was telling me some things at that hotel there in Topeka. I recorded the conversations. But I got so turned on by his experiences, just like we all have been here this weekend with Terry and Little Crow. And I felt such love. Why, you want to drop everything. And you just want to... So you want to go and you want to follow these beings. Be where they are, sit at their feet, whatever it takes. Yes, Master. Give me that which you have. And so it reminds me of the issues of the Mahabharata in one chapter of that called the Bhagavad Gita. And when Arjuna and Krishna were in conversation, and this was at a time when it was before a great battle, which we're all still involved in. Maybe it's a cosmic story that never ends. And this great battle was to happen, and Arjuna points out to Lord Krishna that on the other side is all his family, Arjuna's family. His uncles, maybe some brothers, Bhima and Bhishma, all these various names of the tale, and maybe Krishna did or didn't walk on the planet. I assume maybe he did. But Arjuna was balking at his duty because he just couldn't bring himself to kill all his family, who was at that time appearing on the negative side. And he refused to fight. So if some of you are refusing to fight, what happened was Krishna pointed out to Arjuna, and the only way he could get it through his head was to give him the cosmic experience. And after being blown away in every sense of the word, on every level of mind, emotions, whatever that experience might be, Arjuna came back from that experience, of course, trembling and scared to death because it's beyond the mind, whatever it was. And he simply bowed at the Lord's feet. And he said, "I will do thy bidding." I think that's the major message Terry was trying to get across, whatever that is. "I will do thy bidding." So Arjuna goes into the battle, and he's the great warrior, and he completes his dharma. Krishna pointed out that the battle, the scene, his brothers, his sisters, all this is me. Nothing dies. Arjuna, do your duty for the sake of dharma. So Arjuna, of course, goes in, and the arrows fly like sparks of the sun everywhere, and you know, there's this big battle. And after thousands of elephants and horses and men and chariots and all this big harangue on the planet, the battlefield flowed 3 feet in blood. I just recently read in maybe this last contact, Dharma was driving with EJ along some road out here on the coast toward the city, Santa Barbara, San Jose, I don't know. But it seemed to be that the article I just read, Commander had given Dharma that, or someone had given her that cosmic experience. If I'm wrong, Commander can certainly correct me.
No, you're right.
And that that experience was so overwhelming for the mind that, Dharma, Doris, of course, had problems. So she came back and she went to another teacher. Maybe the name was Carl Bryant. The point is, when I was talking with Ram Dass, and he says after you get blissed out, in every sense of the word, and love overwhelms every cell of your body, your first, when you come back to this consciousness, your first sense of wanting to do something is to go out and change everybody quick. You want to tell everybody the good news. But he said they crucify people for that. So after a while, you learn to be the light, to be the love, be control, be peace, be centered, be yourself. And those who are interested in that state will be attracted to you. And my teacher always said, "I do nothing. I just sit here." And it was true, and like bees to honey, thousands would come over the years and be hanging out with us. We'd build these ashrams, meditation centers, so we could give people a forum whereby they might experience something, and maybe we did some good. So I'm talking with Ram Dass, and I taped this whole thing at that time, 7-inch reels, this old tape recorder. And later, in that same seminar, and I was asking Ram Dass, how do you feel this love? How do you know it? And where is it? And before he left, he looked into my eyes with that shakti that the masters have, or maybe it was just a revelation or a reminder of his own master and how much you love them, which might be an expansion of how much you know that they love you. And you see it and experience it by how much they give. That's the only way I can say that. And I wanted to be in travel with Ram Dass, but he just put his finger under my chin and looked in my eyes again, and this great light comes in, whatever it was, this shakti, this energy we all felt earlier today with Terry. And Ram Dass says, and I'd asked him, "Where do you get this love?" He says, "When you go deep within yourself and you feel this great love, and it's overwhelming, and it comes out of yourself. We're in this deep place of yourself." He said, "You turn around and you'll see me there." So maybe when we turn around, you know, we're going to miss Terry, we're going to miss Little Crow. We want to go with these beings. It's like the love of the ocean, you know. The ocean comes in, it ebbs out again, it never goes away. But you can't sit there on the shore forever just hoping and waiting. You have to go inside, huh? So we go inside and we look around, and maybe you'll see Terry there, or his master, or commander, or Sananda, or infinitely the multitude of beings who have attained it. So later I wrote Ram Dass, and I said, I want to come be with where you are. He was in Massachusetts at the time. And by the way, here's the tape I recorded at the hotel. But basically, I just want to, where are you teaching? How can I come be with you? And he wrote me back. I kept the note a long time because it was special. But he wrote back and said, right now my work is alone. I'm sitting on the porch of this cabin in the mountains in New Hampshire. My work is alone. I'm sitting in the rocking chair and I'm watching the seasons go by. And that was such a peaceful, such grace that we could have the time to sit and watch the seasons go by. So I couldn't be with him, but he said in closing, he says, where we truly are, we are never apart. So if we're going to miss Terry or miss Little Crow or miss Commander when he leaves, you always have the avenue of your own self. It's your inner self. And this morning I had a dream after I came back from being aboard with these beings, and talk about tough, you know, when you gotta leave and getting aboard with these beings. And no matter how many times you do it, every time is a new time and every time is tough. Unless you have an inner connection. Where we truly are, we're never apart. And the lesson this morning, it taught me, I remembered waking up, it said, be on time. And most of you are always on time. If anybody's late, I notice when I'm late. I always got a lot of excuses. Well, it's usually the money, I'm waiting to do something else. So today I made a point to be on time. Also, in the message this morning was, tell your brothers the truth. So how are you going to find those people who you can trust with the truth? Because you give them the truth, you open up, they can hurt you. We're learning a lot of lessons from those beings who haven't learned enough to quit hurting themselves. And of course, we see it as them hurting us, but they don't have the power to hurt you. You give over to the illusion that they have, and maybe you might experience it that way. So always tell the truth and never lie. And I heard that especially in relation to your brothers and sisters on this particular mission. And then I was reminded that we were talking about faxes coming into the office here and some in this last contact, and some of the faxes get out to somebody, they're addressed to Rick, but somehow they get out to somebody else and it puts some of us in the mission in danger. And I wanted to point out that if, you know, how dare somebody take a paper addressed to me and without my permission or my knowledge, give it to anyone else. I don't care what facts it came over. I was just pointing this out for the security of this operation and these offices here. One of the things I do, and I'll tell you why I learned this lesson, because I had sent a fax to one of the chief correspondents, a senior, et cetera, of a major network, who likes me because we have personal relationships where he trusts my heart. But somehow a document that I had sent him, you know, he called me and he said, are you circumventing me? And you go, the vice president of the network just called me and referenced your name. And da da da. Well, you know, I'm in a position I don't even want these people to know my name, let alone vice president on these big things. So now when I send him documents, I do it by phone, and that I know he's standing there at the machine. So if there's anyone out there listening and you need to send something that could be sensitive to your life, why don't you wait till Rick or is standing at the machine, send it now. That's the only person that's ever going to see that document. That's enough points for now.
Dave has been very fortunate and unfortunate in the same breath. He has sought and searched and made sure, regardless of circumstances, to continue his studying. Wally's done much of the same type of searching. I don't mean just go hither and yon and search and experience just every religion or every new idea or whatever, but they have truly tried to find the masters. Eric went to meet with Baba because, as most people find Baba, you go because you hear about him. Or someone else is going and is so enthused and enthralled, really, truly, use of the word enthralled with the being, that you want to experience, or you want to go to India, or you want to do whatever, and this is a good opportunity. But no one ever leaves there that is not changed in some way. And it will always be toward a more positive aspect. You can't experience these great teachers who do not present themselves as great. They are but humble servants to you. What's all this to do about? What do you mean, follow me around? What do you mean? You want to be in my shadow? You are larger and greater than me. You go and let somebody want to follow you. But I hear where the heart is coming from, because there are always missions to be fulfilled. And everyone is searching for their purpose. And Baba can't tell you your purpose. He can smile at you. He may know it. And he may tell you in 15 different ways, but you won't hear it until you're ready to hear it. And some are looking for purposes when they already are functioning in their purpose. Maybe Dave's purpose is to find these teachers and glean from them the single line of truth that flows through all of them. And what is it that you are looking for, reaching out for, grasping for? Not necessarily the vision of devastation or healing or whatever this glorious thing might be, this colored environment of the cosmos where all things are light in their revolving parts. Look at some of these starships through a telescope and enjoy it. You won't find all of them strobing, blink, blink, blink. They will be bathing themselves in this aura of rainbow. These are living beings. And that's what you're searching for. That recognition of being within this light, this rainbow, in consciousness. That's what you're trying to achieve. I want to experience in consciousness and remember it. I know I've been there. I'm looking for it again. To just momentarily, Father, please let me just for one more pass through. It's like seeing a ship go by. Oh, 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 would you do that again? I just need to see it one more time. I want to give you a clue, especially to Dave. In your, I don't like the word unconscious, because with a mind there is never, never unconsciousness. But there is a lack of beingness in the now consciousness. Let's say it's in between assignments. It can be your very soul that you are experiencing with at this moment. And maybe you have just spoken of Ram Dass, and you have just spoken of Buddha, and you've just spoken of the crystals, of any crystals. Any. Any master, any teacher. And still, you come against this wall. Maybe it's even an invisible wall, and yet you want to be over here with them because you have known it. And this is the separation problem. Oh, please, don't let me get away. Don't make me leave this. I don't care what purpose I may have, sir. Please, don't let me leave this. And they will not say, oh, okay, you have to go. They won't do that. So it's doubly hard. They will say, well, it's your choice. It's your choice. But, son, if you don't go and test those wings, you will never know what it was. There will come a time when you will know what it is, and you will forever know what it is, and you become this. But if there is nothing to search for or reach for or grow for, then you have done your teachers no honor. They've not taught you well. It is that inner understanding, that inner knowledge. So, all right, now you've gotten to here, and okay, I will go, I'm back here. Just let me every now and then express. So we try our meditation, and for a brief moment, maybe we can find what I would definitely classify as ecstasy. The being within, the joy of being within. And knowing everything else may be wrong, but for this moment in time, I am in balance. You will not be able to consciously think that, but it will flit through there. This is where I want to be. Only bigger, bigger, a little higher, a little higher. I need that spark. But I'm going to trigger some memories now, talk about mind control. You go along in this journey, and I don't like the term walk-in, because a soul can change and be awakened. It is not a different soul. It is just allowed to grow, to be something different. And you can realize, come into what I would call realization. Obviously, it's going to change your persona, your purpose. Everything about you may well change in a split second. But not necessarily are you different. You are evolved. Now, how does this happen? How can you drift along? Let's just use Dorma. I can use this as an experience because I was there to experience it. It isn't the vision. It is the coming out of a state of almost unconsciousness. And to the moment, and it will happen, and you will never forget it, and you will never go back. You will never find anything else in all your experience that matches that moment of birth. That's what it is birth. You are pulled out of the amniotic fluid of the cosmos. God's womb. I don't care what you're running around being. There comes a moment when it's time and you're chosen, or you have volunteered and you're chosen. And this, up until this moment, is not a consciousness at all. And suddenly you are being brought out of this voidness, which is swirling ethers. Not necessarily even in color. Because you will have come from the ethers into this womb. And it will be very comfortable, and you will not be in any kind of conscious thought whatsoever. You would think, oh, well, I have just been in a dream where it's all gray and swirly and comfortable, and I'm not really drowning or anything, but suddenly you have this feeling that, oh, out of this drowning pool, I'm being pulled out. And what Dorma can remember, I will share with you, because out of this pool that she could not ever explain until recently, when you realize what is the cosmic womb, you are pulled out into consciousness. It isn't much different from a baby being birthed onto a table, only it doesn't yet have its full consciousness. You are filled with total consciousness. And it is an electric shock that like nothing you have ever experienced under any circumstances. It is such a energy jolt. but it is absolutely glorious. Absolutely glorious. And it isn't like you're overwhelmed and you're going to fall out of bed or you're going to go fly around the room or anything. It happens so briefly that you say, oh, please do it again. Please. Where was I? What is this? And you will never, never, ever, for the rest of your existence in time and space, will you ever forget it. But you will know that it's happened before. And you will also know that no matter what comes, you will meet it, you will do it. It is not worship, it is total adoration. It isn't to a commander, Hatan, it isn't to a Ram Dass, it is to God. And what you have experienced is your soul. Your soul coming into consciousness, and it will never, ever, in all your experience again, ever be without it. You've passed the hurdle, see. When you can be touched by the presence of God through another being, you will never not express this ever again. Not in this lifetime, not in any other. There's no going back from that. You may die and pass on or do whatever you want to do. It will never leave you. It is that spark of that moment of truth. It is not even a realization of purpose, but it is a realization you have one. And from then on, as with her, you may get calluses in your hands and they may hurt from time to time, but you know what you do? You heal them up. She has less problems with her hands and does more typing than anybody I know. And if she has a problem, someone from out there amongst you sends her something that they have found helps. She'll use it. It is glory. And so when you talk about it and you say, well, I sat for hours with Ram Dass. Well, how could you manage to sit there that long? Why, it was nothing. It was a blink of an eye. You have gone through almost 10 years. You're starting 10 years now together here. And just because you didn't know about it in 1987, forget it.